Man United off a win. Chelsea off.
I gotta get the door. Hold on.
Yeah, I got you. Yes, you can get the door, John. You can get the door, John. You can get the door. Get the little dog into the room. I can't think of something that rhymes with room that makes sense, so I'm gonna keep singing something else. Get the dog in the room. Get the dog in the room, John. Get the motherfucking dog in the room. Little Joe, get in the room. How's your thumb? You had UCL surgery. Even though you played through the playoffs, I love you for that. I love you for that.
Yo, this is gonna be such an easy edit, and then in the past like 5 minutes, it got totally fucked up.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
NAFTA Podcast, we're back. It is match week 10 and a half is what I'm calling it. A little midweek special. You have myself, John, and Michael in the stew. Dylan is busy playing the third defensive line for the New York Rangers tonight, and Nick is busy telling eighth graders' parents their kids aren't special, so you're just stuck with us two, and it is a more sober episode than the last one, put it that way.
I feel bad for Nick more than anything else.
Yeah, that's an awful gig.
Dylan...
Hey, respect your teachers, you know?
Yeah, hey... I'm talking to you eighth graders that maybe listen to this on occasion when Nick bribes you to. Listen to Nick. He's a smart boy.
Also, on your test coming up, jejunum is the right answer.
Yeah. If you see something and in your head you think jejunum, you're right. So write it.
Also, when you go on the subway in New York, you Jersey kids see something, say something. Best policy. I feel bad for Nick. That's a tough one. Dylan... deep in the trenches of referring to the New York Rangers as his team, which people have their opinions on. I guess I don't really care that people do that. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know shit about hockey or, like, if there are any teams that are even other teams in that area. Help me.
There's actually another team in Jersey, but... No one's a Devils fan.
Oh, true. Wait, isn't there?
There's also the Islanders, but I more meant like when people refer to like we got a game.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd say like the Cavs have. We don't have a hockey. We do have a hockey team. You're a Penguins fan though.
Yeah, I don't know why you're fixated on hockey. I just mean fandom in the sense of like when Man City plays. I try not to say we got a game. I say. I got to watch the Man City game.
I think I teeter between Liverpool plays. I say, like, Liverpool plays today. Mm-hmm. Or I'd probably do say, like, we play it. Like, if they're saying, like, when does Liverpool play? I go, we play it, like, 11:30. I guess I don't say we have a game, though. So I understand what you're saying.
I just meant, like, people sometimes will give people shit for...
Oh, like, you're not playing.
Making themselves part of the team, yeah.
Yeah, that's a boomer thing that you said, though, for sure.
Yeah, like, I don't care. I do it sometimes.
Yeah.
But.
I'm just saying, that's like some shit my dad, like our dad would say.
This is definitely an our dad and maybe our Uncle Bob's conversation at home at some point.
Happening now on a podcast that we have.
Yeah, we'll distribute it later. One thing I did want to bring up.
Great intro, by the way.
Yeah. The best one we've had forever. I want to confirm, I was not drunk last episode. I was tipsy. You've definitely felt this. You know when you're, like, drunk or getting drunk and something happens and it sobers you up real quick?
Yeah.
That's what having to edit and re-listen to the podcast for me.
You're like, oh, fuck.
And, like, there's no more confident human being than me after we did that pod. I literally was sitting there and I was like, that was a slapper.
Dude, well, because there was one point where I was explaining something to you. I was trying to explain something to you, and I said it. And then during the podcast, you were like, no, 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 but I'm saying this. And I was like, no, I'm the one making the point here, pal. You're, like, answering. And then you said the same thing again. I was like, yes, that's what I'm saying. And you're like, I know. And it was, like, this very tense moment between us where it's like, Michael, I get what you're saying. You're fucking up. So when I re-listened to it, to find that the whole conversation was cut out because you didn't know what you were talking about, I was like, you bitch.
Yeah. The power of the editor. There are some perks with having to stay up till like 2 a.m. to edit this sometimes.
Truly, but, good trade-off for me. I'll take it.
Yeah. I want to apologize to the fans, though we don't have many, first and foremost. That was not a slapper, confirmed. But B, just, you know, maybe dial it back 2.5 beers next time I jump on.
Yeah. You came on hot. I will say that.
Yeah. For someone who actually didn't really have a lot of defending of their own team on the pod too, like I was pretty juiced up, probably from the Guardians game though.
Yeah, true.
All right, we are, like I said, it's like 10.5 match weeks in. Some teams have played 11 games, some teams have played 10. There's a lot of storylines going on. There's a manager we're pretty sure has seen his last game.
Oh, he is.
For a team. Oh, he it did. Already happened?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it happened.
All right. I love how quick it is in the Premier League.
Get the fuck out of here. We got a game Sunday, brother.
We need that new manager bump ASAP.
Right now.
So, yeah, well, we're going to get into that. Is another team, your team, are they back? Is Liverpool back? We're going to talk about all that. First things first, let's dive into some of these games we're not going to spend as much time on. Brighton, Hove Albion, Nottingham Forest, 0-0. Move on. Palace 2, Wolves 1. Adama Traore. It really was Adama Traore that scored this goal. For some reason on FotMob, it was not him. And I texted the group and I was like, did Adama actually score this goal? He scores a goal in the 31st minute. Eze and Zaha get 2 back for Palace, giving them 3 points in the 47th and 70th. Bournemouth 0, Southampton 1. Who's going to score for Southampton? Che fucking Adams. 9th minute goal, and they hold on for all 3 points. Brentford 0, Chelsea 0. We don't talk about 0-0s, but Michael did call this one, so I'm sure he might mention something. Newcastle 1, Everton 0. Miggy Almiron, he's actually been on the score sheet, I think, a decent amount this year, man.
I'm picking him up.
Newcastle.
Picking him up in fantasy.
I picked up 3 Newcastle guys 2 weeks ago, and I didn't got shit for it. Isak's not back yet, but we'll see.
Isak.
But Miggy with a goal there, 1-0, 3 points over Everton. And then the last game of the week wrapped up today, Leicester City 2, Leeds United 0. An own goal in the 16th, and then Harvey Barnes in the 35th give Leicester their second win. I believe it's their second win of the season. Where do you want to start, dude?
I'll start right at the top, actually. Okay. Leicester's still in 19th. I thought they might have clawed out, but no. The most Brighton and Hove Albion performance ever. Let's just take a quick gander here at the possession stats, expected goals. 70% possession, 1.66 expected goals, 19 total shots, 7 on target to 3 total shots and no on target for Nottingham Forest. Somehow Nottingham Forest gets a draw. I mean, this is like the like always the problem for Brighton the past 2 years.
Yeah. Can't get a goal. I mean, this Nottingham Forest, this was the best Diego Simeone they've ever done.
Yeah, 100%. Crystal Palace, huge for them. Thought, like, after the Traore goal, you know, they're just going to fold, and they didn't. They came back 2 goals, 2 different times, too. It wasn't, like, quick succession. They literally worked the whole second half. So that's big for them. That puts them into 11th, still only like 3 points out of seventh.
Yep. I think, too, I'll throw my 2 cents in here so I don't got to go back. They need, like, that's a game they got to win. They
just
tied Leicester, and that was like, man, this was going to be the run of games that they're going to get some points. You got to beat Wolves. Wolves is can't even get a coach.
Right.
Sorry, Dylan.
And it's at home, too. Leicester was away. Maybe you make that excuse, but at home, got to win.
And then you got Everton away and then Southampton at home next two games. Like, picking up six there would be huge.
Massive.
Obviously, I don't think Vieira is, like, on a hot seat or anything, but, like, they're talented. Like, let's get some points to match that.
Che Adams started games in the Premier League. I believe I'm remembering this correctly. 3-2-5, okay? Just every game he's appeared in. I didn't look at how long he played or anything. 3-2-5. Incredible stat here, ready? In games he has scored, Southampton are 2-0-0. pretty incredibly small sample size, clearly, but he has 3 goals on the year. Shout out to him. Got them 2 wins. This is one where, like, kind of weirdly thought Bournemouth would win. Picked up Dom Solanke for it. Yeah, at home. Get that early goal, and then they just kind of shut down shop. Pretty even the whole way, though. So, I don't know. Maybe they're just two, like, average bad teams.
I think we have enough time left in the season to see a bit of a Bournemouth tanking.
Oh, yeah. You know? Plenty of time. 100%. The one I do want to actually spend a tiny bit more time on, Brentford-Chelsea. Didn't think it'd be a nil-nil. Brentford actually have, I think, like the fifth most goals in the Premier League, like outside the top three, us, and then maybe Fulham have the fourth most. But they actually are scoring quite a bit, playing some like good football. David Raya was the man of the match in this. Insane to say, because Kepa Arrizabalaga was the best player on the field. He made like three or four point blank saves. Again, at Brentford, probably had a lot of energy playing Chelsea. This was nutty, because either team could have won, but I think I would have edged it just to Brentford. I think they had a couple more big chances that they could have scored. You said last week, like, jokingly, I think, that Chelsea are kind of maybe calling it this year a little bit. They need to start scoring. I mean, I know that's been a problem for them, too, but they need to start, like, getting performances together for sure.
Big stat line here, and I wish that this would actually show up as a stat line, but Kepa's had a pretty damn good year, dude. Quietly.
Yeah.
Like, they're always going to defend well. They're always going to... They have good defenders. Graham Potter's, obviously, with Brighton, was good at not giving up a ton of goals, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But he's bringing that same Brighton energy to Chelsea, which, oddly enough, was pretty similar to the Tuchel energy. Just like, unless the defender's scoring, we're not.
Yeah, and so. Actually, that's interesting, because, so, 4 matches, 3 clean sheets for Kepa. Mendy's hurt, right? Or no, he's just picking him over him.
I think he's on his way back, if I remember correctly. And I know that, like, if there's Chelsea fans listening, they're going to be screaming, like, how the fuck don't we know this? But we don't.
I don't watch your team. Sorry. Don't care.
I do think that...
He was on the bench. So maybe he's just... maybe he's just coming back.
I see that. I have to assume. Like, I don't know. We might have to get, like, a Chelsea sideline reporter or something to pop into the pod and give us an update. But I just know he's been playing well, and which is hilarious, because it's the reason they got Mendy.
Well, it's so funny, because, like, you could sit there and be like, oh, why don't you, like... play the goalkeeper you spent all the money on, but, like, they spent all the money on Kepa too. So I mean, either one is, like, you're fucked either way, kind of.
Very fair point. Very fair point.
But, yeah, he's playing great. He played insane this game. As you know, I'm a big goalkeeper guy, and first issue. I'm changing it now to a three-parter instead of a four-parter. But the first set of goalie keeper corner goalie rankings will be out very soon once I find some time.
I think you said that 7 episodes ago.
No, I didn't say it once this year, actually. I promise you I didn't, because it just popped in my head now that I was like, oh shit, I haven't even mentioned it yet.
Might be a challenge for me to find it. Newcastle, I mentioned Miggy. 5 goals, 11 matches. That's very good. Normally. Yeah. In a normal year where Holland's not scoring a shit ton of goals and Mitrovic, I believe he's second now, isn't scoring a shit ton of goals, that is a pretty good stat line at this point.
Yeah. Especially for somebody who was, like, dead in the water and people hated and people did not want to play. Under Eddie Howe, he's pretty unreal right now. Mm-hmm. Gmarish is so sick, so fucking good.
Picked him up.
Did you? Obviously, Joe Linton, my guy. And then that defense, you know, Dan Burn, Botman, Schar, Trippier, Pope. That's a very good back five.
Just in general.
Yes.
Premier League or not, Champions League, decent as well. Holland with 15, Kane and 9, Mitro 8, Ivan Toney with 8 as well, 3 on a pen.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of people with 6, and then there you go. Miggy. And then Leicester and Leeds. Look.
Go off.
I think we have someone else in trouble here. For a team that was known not to defend but could score with the best of them, Leeds have scored 1 goal in the last 4 games.
They've scored 3 goals in the last 5.
It's 4 goals in the last 7, too. Yeah.
Should we do one more? No, because they actually scored 3 that game.
Where do we... Hey, if we keep going, the stat doesn't make sense for us.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, but think about it. Like, think about how high you were on Leeds. Not you, but everybody. The 3-0 result against Chelsea. And since then, I mean, you beat Barnsley in a cup game, and then you have tied 2 and lost 5.
Yeah, man. I mean, I haven't read any tabloids. But I gotta assume someone's grumbling about him. He's American. He's gonna have a short leash, right? Like, I would assume.
Yeah. I think the problem is Rodrigo is out, and he was kind of their, like, guy a little bit this year.
I believe he played in this game, though.
Did he?
Yeah.
So maybe I'm fucking wrong. Oh, it doesn't say he's hurt.
He did play. He came in the 46th minute, so halftime, essentially.
Yeah, but, so maybe he's like Mendy's coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I watched this game. It was boring as hell. It's crazy, too. Whatchamacallit played well. Brendan Aaronson actually played pretty well. It's not right at half field, the midline. It is like 10 yards past that they just can't figure out.
Yeah. I think they're still not a good, like, even though they brought in Roca and Tyler Adams, they're still not, like, a good defensive team. Like, especially when they're trying to press forward and, like, if you get past them, they're kind of fucked. And that's kind of, like, where that area is. The other thing, too, where I think it's, like, very funny to say, and for a period of time, it was absolutely true, 100%. I think... Like, Leicester still have guys. Like, still have people that are good.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, Tielemans, Madison, Barnes, Vardy. I truly
Vardy
think...
Vardy hasn't scored this year.
3 assists, though, dude.
True.
He is also a striker, so that's concerning. But I think, like, it's one of those things where, you know, you have guys and it's just not working and it hasn't worked in the beginning of the year. But I think at any moment they can kind of like have a good game and like win.
And like wriggle out of it.
Yeah. And especially against teams that like, you know, Leeds, it's all about consistency. And I love that we always like talk like in a vacuum of like 1 week.
Always.
When it's like, you know, really.
You should actually call this podcast The Vacuum.
I feel like the name is pretty good. Why change it?
Peace.
We've made it this far. But yeah, I think they could win pretty much any time, especially against these mid-table lower teams. And it just, they could also fall apart at any moment. So
I agree. The one thing that is a little, and this may even be to even more to your point, I guess, but the one thing that's a little alarming, again, Leeds, under Bielsa, love him or hate him, they were going to try to score, and they were going to keep trying to score, and they scored a decent amount of goals.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get a goal past the team who's given up the most goals in the Premier League.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That's also a crazy stat. Like, they've given up the most goals, and then they've also scored, like, the sixth most goals. That was the same thing last year. Like, they scored a bunch but could not play defense. So it's interesting.
Leicester,
that,
you mean?
Yeah, Leicester. But yeah. I'm saying, like, it's interesting that that wouldn't have been, like, I know they have it in them. Like, Leeds have it in them to just, like, go all out and try to, you know, score on anybody at any moment. Again, it must just be, like, this not getting up for certain games or, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's overthinking it.
Yeah. We'll prayers up, T's and P's for Jesse Marsh and all the Americans out there trying to make it in the Premier League. All right, the big games, the ones we want to spend some time on. First things first, Liverpool 1, West Ham 0. Darwin Nunez shows that you can evolve within the season, scoring a goal in the 22nd minute, giving Liverpool all 3 points. Header assist from Kostas Tsimikas.
Good job. I thought you were gonna try to say the whole thing.
Konstantinos Tsimikas.
Konstantinos Tsimikas.
Also, shout out to me adding a little evolution joke in there for Darwin. Liverpool, are they back? ?
So, I think West Ham was good in this game. I think they played pretty okay. Actually out XG'd us, although that is mainly due to the penalty. Obviously that's like a pretty high XG.
Oh, also should have mentioned that. I mean, great save by Allison.
Yeah. Allison's having slyly a great season so far. Like, he has been probably our best player.
He's definitely the reason why you've been in, or definitely the reason you've tied some of the games you tied.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Because a lot of the goals that have been given up this year, I do not think you can blame on him.
No, at all. Tsimikas to Nunez, bun gang strong. I rep it. Both have a bun. that's all that joke had.
Both are buns.
Okay. Both are buns. But in all seriousness, though, that goal was like, that goal for him was coming. Like, he was everywhere that game. I got to watch like the replay of it. There were two in particular, like over the top ball that he took early, tried to like chip Fabianski, but not even like chip him. Like, he just tried to fucking smash it past him over his head. He's going to get one of those this year where he just takes the shot real early and just goes, dips it right over the goalie's head and in. And then the one he put off the fucking post was a missile.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Unreal.
Dude, he is kind of like watching, I wish I was better at picking animals right now. Just like almost watching like a really in shape rhinoceros ice skate.
What?
Because like, think about it. He's super athletic. He is, rhinoceros isn't the right thing, but he's big and he's strong and he's athletic and like, but he'll put the one off the post, the ball comes back to him, and then his next kick almost hits the corner fucking flag.
Yeah, right? he tried to outside the foot it.
Yeah.
And like, then he just missed. But yeah. Then, dude, I saw, and again, this is like the Anfield Rap, or, you know, I can't remember which Liverpool outlet it was, but it was just one of the guys on there going like, he's like a fucking agent of chaos. Like, he's just everywhere. Yeah. He's just running around. And then he puts in there like a shit Andy Carroll. They said like, okay, like we'll see or something like that. Like, they're just big and have a bun. Like, they're nothing alike really. Also, like, I don't know how, I guess it was like the Premier League and stuff who like tracks it, but again, like, I hate VAR, so anything that like involves cameras or statistics or shit like that that they do, I'm just kind of skeptical of it. But him being the fastest Premier League player ever now is like pretty funny too, because it just plays perfectly into like he's just an athletic freak while also being like the most sometimes just the most not athletic person.
Yeah, he's a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, that's a good one. He is. He's just the Tasmanian devil.
It's awesome to watch. Like, I was texting my buddy Ian. I was just like, dude, he's got to play. I think he's also one of those guys where the more he's going to be out there and the more that he's on the field, the better for you guys.
Yeah.
He's got to play.
Trent, everyone was saying to drop him this week. Which I don't even think you could, like, unless you just wanted to put Milner out there again. Had a great game. Defended really well. Except for, like, one instance where everyone's going to fucking lose their mind. But other than that, defended really well. Tsimikas is a great backup to Robertson. And then Firmino, again, great game. Like, he just is fucking everywhere, too.
You can't drop him.
Yeah.
One thing that I think was probably worrisome for you was penalty happens at the end of the first half, and then West Ham did come out in that second half and kind of assert themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that happens. Like you said, I'm down on West Ham a little bit because I think the results aren't there, but like they're still a good team. That's going to happen. But I thought they were going to get one back for sure. There's a couple of runs in there where it just made sense, and then Jared Bowen couldn't finish it out.
That's why I dropped him.
Liverpool back, yes or no? Do you have hope for the league?
Not realistically, no. I mean, listen, they could do it because I think I still think the Premier League is like insanely strong, and I think like you guys could still for sure lose games, and will Arsenal? I don't think Arsenal is that great. I think they're gonna lose twice to you guys. So like I think teams above us will drop points. The only thing I will say is keeping two clean sheets in a row feels like insanely good.
Yeah. It's actually the most impressive part.
Yeah, but I still think you're focusing. I mean, you're not focusing on other things. It's still very early, but you're waiting for someone to slip up to then say, okay, we're going to go for it.
Yeah, I feel like you guys need to put a muzzle on me about, like, are you still in it? Until like after the World Cup.
Yeah, I think the only teams you can say that are not in it is if like in the first 10 games you've lost half of them.
Okay, fair point.
Which I don't know who that is, to be honest.
One team that I think we may have predicted a little wrong at the beginning of this year, two of them actually. Yeah, who knows? Man United 2, Tottenham 0. Fred. With a goal in the 47th minute that was just a mistake. It was hilarious to watch, but just a mistake. And then Bruno Fernandes in the 69th minute. Big win for Manchester United. Tottenham, in my mind, was a better team than them. I thought it'd be close, but I thought they were going to be a better team than them. Was not.
No, they got fucking pumped, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is going to be true of the next game we talk about too. The whole first half, United was just obliterating them, basically, like taking it to Spurs the whole game. And then even though the Fred goal was like straight up fucking like a joke, like horrible deflection into the corner, he barely kicked it like at all. They deserved a goal, like 100%. Yeah. Sure. And then the Fernandes goal, great finish from him. I texted Nick right after, and I was like, when I saw it, because I was like I was at work, and I was like, dude, this is like a massive win. Like, because this is a game where I feel like in the past, well, maybe I can just look. They've kind of been beat by Spurs. Actually, no, they've won the last two. So what the fuck do I know? Last three. They did have a 6-1 in there where they lost, but
yeah.
I feel like it's just one of those teams where I thought Spurs is better than them. I think they're going to finish ahead of them. And I was thinking, you know, the way Spurs play that counterattack, away from home is probably a pretty effective way to play, but they just got absolutely torn apart.
Yeah. Second goal on the season for Bruno, one of our least favorite players, if we're being honest.
I hate him.
The guys, Dylan and Nick, we were texting them beforehand, just be like, hey, anything you want us to bring up, there's a few points. One being Conte. Do we think he makes it through the whole year? No. You think he does?
I do. Oh, yeah. Really? I think you guys are overreacting.
Michael, keep calm and carry on, like always. Love it.
Yeah. They've never had a coach that good.
You don't think so?
No.
Poch?
No.
Jose?
No. Jose could flex on Poch so hard because like he's won so much more, but like Conte could equally be like, I've won a fuck ton too, dude, and I think he's a better coach.
Yeah. And then the other question. I don't even think it's a question anymore. I think, and Dylan said this, and he's, you know, our MLS expert. I guess we could call up Three Pod Hank if we need to. But Ronaldo, a little dissension, a little walk-off early. I think he's going to end up in the MLS come January. Where does he go? And I was walking Josie, and I was talking through the options, the legit options in my head.
So, before you get into the options, he already apologized on via Instagram, and said that he let the moment get the best of him or whatever, and was frustrated. I feel like this type of thing is happening like far too much, and I feel like he does things and then kind of doesn't get the outcome that he wants and then apologizes after, kind of like a save face. Do you want to give options, or are you asking me where?
Do you want me to walk you through my brain gymnastics?
Do it.
That I was doing?
Yep.
First of all, the most important part, and the thing that Nick needs to be excited about, is this is clearly Ten Hag's team.
Mm-hmm.
One. And it sounds like maybe the front office is letting it be Ten Hag's team finally, and we don't have to worry about this. All right. The mental gymnastics on Ronaldo to the MLS. First places that come to your mind. Any of the LA teams. The New York teams. Miami. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The vibe of Ronaldo, and now I'm just thinking of cities. The vibe of Ronaldo. He does not feel like a New York guy. At all. Does not feel like he'd be in New York. Does not feel like whatever. Played a long time in Spain. We know how people who play in Spain are. He's definitely trying to evade taxes if he wants to. That only gives you a handful of states, Florida, Texas, and I believe Washington, that have MLS teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably another one. But Miami was always my first choice. I don't think Austin's a big enough city to get him in there. I don't think he would like being in Houston at all, as someone who lived in Houston for a time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Dallas might actually be too conservative-y for him, from what I know of the MLS and Dallas, they are a big youth setup. Like, that's their pride and joy.
Right.
So I think Texas teams are out. I think he could end up at LA because of other ways you can make money out there. But again, taxes, super, super high.
Right.
And then there's no fucking shot in hell he goes plays for the Sounders. So it's got to be Miami in my mind.
Yeah, he'd only go to Miami.
You got the Beckham set up.
Yeah.
I think it's a layup there.
The first place I thought of was Miami. Like, even before the New York or LA or anything.
Again, we're talking out of our ass because I know that there's like foreign player placement money that I don't know how the salary cap in MLS works. So maybe Miami isn't even an option. I don't know. But that was the only place I really thought that was valid.
Yeah. I'm going to be real with you. I don't give a flying fuck about Ronaldo.
Yeah, me neither.
So I don't even care.
This is like a pet segment to Nick and then like the seven other people that listen to the pod that like Ronaldo.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think I said before, like midway through the MLS season, I told Dylan, I was like, I'm all in for next year on the MLS. And I don't think since I said that I've watched one MLS game. So I really just don't give a shit. I don't, if he and goes now, there, I don't care.
Yeah. And now that you've doubled down on the Cavs and the NBA, like, it's going to be even harder for you to give time to the MLS, dude.
Yeah. The full NBA podcast will be coming soon. I'm the biggest Cavs fan in the world.
Do not invite me on that one.
I will just finish it off, my point on this, by saying that at every turn the past 2 years, we have sat here and said he's the biggest baby in the world. He's a prima donna. He's an incredible player, but he is a child when he doesn't get what he wants. And every single time, we are just proven more correct.
Also, I'm pretty sure he's sexually assaulted someone. I always bring that up.
Yeah, every time.
Bad person. He's the type of person that at the grocery store does not put his grocery cart back in the stall.
He puts it in the parking lot.
He treats waiters like shit. He's a bad guy. He is.
You know when you like put your cart and like there's clearly like two like rows to like put your cart when you like fill your car up with your groceries and you're putting it back. He's like the type of person that like will put it sideways. So it's blocking both rows. So then someone has to take his cart, put it in one of the rows, and then they can, like, put their cart back. Or, like, if the guy's coming to get it, he has to fucking fiddle with it. He's just a bad person. Like, he just... chaos in a bad way.
When he puts his cart... when he's done with his cart, someone else has to move it before someone else can use it. There's a two-person handoff that has to happen before that cart is back in use. Put it that way.
I'm not saying I take my cart back to the door because I want to eliminate the need for that worker to go get my cart in the first place. I'm not saying I'm a saint. I'm just saying that that's something that you can do to make someone's day better. And grocery he refuses.
Grocery pod coming soon as well.
Yeah.
All right. The last game that we want to chat about, Fulham 3, Aston Villa 0. Harrison Reed. Who is this man? Harrison Reed in the 36th minute for Fulham opens the scoring. Mitrovic to still not be denied a pen in the 68th. And then one of the biggest NAFTA falls from grace I've ever seen. Ty Mings, an own goal for Villa. I think since we deemed him a year and a half ago that, like, hey, maybe Man City should look at this guy. He knows how to defend. Not had a good run of form for the past year or so.
I don't think this one was really like his fault.
No, but it's just funny.
It's just funny, yeah. It is funny.
It's our storyline. I like timings though. Met him twice. Never have. All right, Fulham 3, Villa 0. That's what the scoreline's gonna be, but the story is gonna be that Stevie G has been relieved of his post, of his duties as Aston Villa manager.
I thought I'd save this till now, but Dylan had a quote, and he said I can quote him on this. He said that he turned Midlands into the NFC East, okay? Because Villa, my question is it valid? Because the NFC East is kind of popping off right now.
Yeah, but traditionally, like... It's pretty terrible.
Okay, that's fine. It seems like in this exact the time that the comment is made is like the exact time where it doesn't actually make sense.
True.
True. Anyway, back to the game itself. This was a weird one because Fulham fucking killed him the whole game, pretty much. Could have scored like 60. Willian could have scored like 6 goals. Mitro could have scored like 6 goals. I mean, Emi Martinez was like pulling off insane saves, right? The Harrison Reed goal was just so weird. Like that's the person that ended up getting the goal in that way. The penalty, I mean, we could go on. I'm clearly VAR out on this one. He's a yard away. Mitro blasted into his hand. The same that we've seen so many times become like be a penalty and then also other times not be a penalty. So I'm just like out on it on general. That being said, I do think it probably is a pen. And then to end, just like to end the game, or sorry, the pen itself too. I mean, Martinez makes all these saves all game, mm-hmm. and then fucking lets that go in. Mm-hmm. Pretty terrible. And then an own goal at the end, just to.
I think, yeah, not to interject and cut you off. You're a keeper. I don't think you ever can say it's a keeper's fault that it's not saved. Pretty much, it's unlucky. I think that's unlucky. Like it's a guessing game, dude.
Yeah, but it was like at his body. Like he almost could have not moved his hands. The fact that he like tried to actually move his hands and block it made it go in. Yeah. Also, yeah. I'll say this about Martinez. He is so like high energy and high strung that I think like sometimes it's almost like too fucking much. Like he's too just like fucking like, you know, he's bouncing on every play, like he's doing this like foot tapping shit, and mm-hmm. I think that almost is too much, and like sometimes he just makes like simple little mistakes like that.
He hasn't perfected it like Ramsdale has yet. That's Ramsdale too. Ramsdale's actually figured it out.
Ramsdale's a lunatic too. Yeah, absolutely. But it's just, it was just one of those games where the way that they all the goals just seemed like they shouldn't really have been goals. But that being said, they had so many opportunities, Fulham, that they could have scored like easily that they didn't, that you're almost like, oh, it could have been like five really.
16 total shots, 4 big chances, 3 big chances missed, obviously, for Fulham. I think the biggest thing will be the fact that 0 big chances created for Villa. 12 mm-hmm. shots, but the offense always, it seems like, has been the issue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And there's a point, like what I said last week, where, you know, if guys just are missing the ball, like missing shots in front of goal, you know, that's not really on the manager. But if it's been this long and you can't find a way to like manufacture a goal or like do something, then some of the onus does fall on you. Like even if the players are underperforming, you have to find a way to get something out of them. And he just clearly wasn't getting anything out of them.
Yeah. Douglas Luiz, red card in the 62nd minute. We were talking about this pre-pod. When are these guys going to figure it out that, like, was it an acting job by, I believe it was Mitrovic that got headbutted?
Clearly.
Clearly an acting job. But, like, yeah, outside of playing at Arsenal, these cameras work and they see you. And, like, if you make a head gesture motion towards that person, you're going to get a red card.
Yeah. Every time. It's the same thing I said with the Nunez one, or like early on. Do I think Anderson like made the absolute most out of it? For sure. Do I think Mitrovic did? Probably worse, honestly. Like it was insane. You can't drop and then pick your head up. You can't do it. Like you're just gonna get fucked every time. So just like literally just don't do it. Bump your chest. Like put your chest out and bump your chest into him, or push him. Yeah. Honestly, pushing would be better.
Belly bumps.
Yeah.
Belly bump pod.
Once you like, that for whatever reason, and I guess for good reason, actually, the head, like, that action is just immediately deemed as, like, you're trying to hurt somebody, and it's dangerous, and you're, like, dangerous play, and pushing somebody is just, like, kind of like, oh, everyone pushes.
Well, think about it. Like, how unhinged and how crazy and upset do you have to be to use your own cranium to hurt someone?
I mean, dude, I don't know. Have a lot of like.
It's fair. It's just fair that if they do that, it's already.
Yeah, you know? I don't have a lot to back this up or like why I would say this, but I feel like look at Douglas Luiz. I feel like he's a little bit, like he could be a little crazy.
Oh no! Yeah, absolutely.
So like, I think it's.
I think that's why it's so serious too. They're just like, this guy's nuts. If he's gonna use his own like brain suitcase to like hit someone, he's gotta be nutty. We gotta get him out of here.
You know? Do you wanna hear his apology posted 3 hours ago?
Douglas Luiz's?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll tell you what John McGinn said after the game.
Okay. Douglas Wee says, I come here, I apologize for the red card, even though I thought it was not for expulsion. I was not disloyal, exclamation point. But anyway, I harmed my team at an important moment. Apologies, fans, staff, and Aston Villa FC. And what Steven an apology.
Gerard. And Steven Gerrard's.
My brother was like, I was not disloyal, but whatever. Like, yeah. Sorry. It's yeah. Pretty tight.
Very young guy. Apology. McGinn, I think either someone told him or he just knew what this result meant, and he just straight up says, we let Stevie G down.
Did he?
Yeah.
Damn. So, again, that's like, oh, man, I hate to make this comparison. This is going to be, I really hope Nick doesn't, like, listen this far. Because do you remember when, like, everyone's calling for Ole out?
Yeah.
And the players are, like, every time they're going, they're like, it's not him. Like, it really is. It's like, we need to be better. We need to be better. We need to be better. It's almost like that kind of, where it's like, no, like, he's super tight to, like, hang with. And, like, he's Steven Gerrard. Like, come on. But, yeah. We're not doing very good.
Damn. In Stevie G's defense, their two biggest signings, I think you could argue, this summer.
Absolutely. Yep.
Kamara and Carlos. Is it Douglas Carlos, right?
Kamara and Diego Carlos.
Diego Carlos. That's what I meant. They're two biggest signings. Like, just done. Out. So funny. Go ahead.
Finish.
I said we did that Miles Offit series on every team except for Chelsea, funny enough. And the one dude that I was pretty sure I was never going to see this name again, Ludwig Augustusson, injured as well.
Damn, that's tough.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, you're gonna have to get a new manager. Their game is 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. Against Brentford, very very winnable game at home. Okay. You could win it. It's possible.
Dude, that is the one game you don't want to see on a new manager bump game.
Okay, but hold on. Then they go to Newcastle. Then they have Manchester United. Oof. Then they have Manchester United again in the EFL Cup. Oof. Then they have Brighton away. Then they have Liverpool. Then Oof. They have Spurs.
Oh.
And then they have Wolves at home.
All right.
And then Leeds. But that's in January. That's in 2023.
Yeah. Damn. They're not going to play up till 2023.
No, dude. That's crazy. Like, you're bringing a new manager in. Maybe I understand why, but, like, you're bringing a new manager into a gauntlet.
I mean, I know that we feel like it's justified, right? Because just like how you went through those, here are the losses. Bournemouth, Palace, who you have to assume that you thought you'd be on equal treading with. West Ham, which you think might have been a little bit of a reach, but you should be playing them pretty well. Arsenal's better than you. You tie City, best game you played all year. And it wasn't even. You got a ridiculous just goal out of, like, nothing. Tie Leeds, which you need to assume you're better than. You tie Nottingham Forest, who now you've only gotten 1 point from two games against newly promoted sides. Lose to Chelsea, that's a stretch. Lose to Fulham, now you got 1 point against all three newly promoted sides. Like, yeah, it was time.
Yeah. That's the other thing I was going to say. Thank you for jogging my memory. As bad as this result is, I don't think the firing was based on this result. I think it was the accumulation of bad results.
Yeah,
100%.
Sure. Big time underperformance. Shout out to Big Wes Edens, though, co-owner of Villa, close personal friend of mine that I tried to get millions of dollars from when I was raising money for politicians. Hopefully you guys make a good decision. He's actually a super nice guy. Owns the Bucks too.
Shout wait, to him. Real quick. Because obviously this took over most of the story. Fulham kind of good though.
Fulham sneaky good. I think that's. I'm glad you brought that up. We should give, as Kendrick Perkins always says, give them their flowers whenever we can. I love that the Cottage is back and hopefully to stay in the Premier League. Sneaky good, sneaky decent. Top, like Mitrovic is having a year. As bad as his last time in the Premier League was, is as good as it is now. And then I think the last thing that we can say, as everyone would expect, leading name in the clubhouse for the job, Pochettino.
Yeah. I mean, him and Villa would be pretty cool, I feel like.
Yeah, a good match. Are
Southampton, are Southampton and Villa rivals?
No. That's Southampton is way south.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I was just seeing if you knew for sure.
Guys, Premier League pod doesn't even know the geography.
Dude, I have no fucking clue. All
right. Dylan, Michael, and myself, 4-5 last week. Nick, unfortunately, 3-6. It means I'm still leading the pack, 51-55. Michael, you are still in second at 48-58. And then I believe, and they are, Dylan and Nick, brotherly love, tied at 45-61 going into this week. You said it's some interesting games. Lead us off, dude.
Forest are hosting Liverpool. I mean, we have to win this.
Yeah, it's got to be a quadfecta. With Liverpool.
Yeah, my friend told me, like, if he doesn't win this, he's setting himself on fire, so.
That's tough.
Yeah, so we better win. Otherwise, he's dead. Palace. Come back from that. No, you're, like, who set himself on fire? Wasn't it Gandhi?
Monks. No, Gandhi didn't eat. Damn. Oh. No geography, no history. It's all right.
Nope. Don't know shit. Palace go to Everton. Everton pretty good at home. I feel like this is one of those where Everton probably going to win or at least get a draw. But I'm going to go Palace. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't care who knows it. I'm going Palace.
I'm going to scream it from the rooftop. You're not alone. It's also a quadfecta. All four of us with Palace.
Let's go. Fuck you, Hank. I like you, actually. You're very nice. Sorry. Let my emotions get the best of me. Man City hosting Brighton. You guys didn't get to play this week, so you better be like, Haaland better score like 16 goals. Get me a little bump back in fantasy. I got you guys.
Yeah, again, quadfecta as well. Everyone with Man City, and it needs to be a dub.
Got
back from Liverpool.
Brighton, good, like, better team than Forest, but, like, equally, like, gotta be a win, especially at home. Chelsea hosting Manchester United. United off of, what is it, a win and a draw, mm-hmm. and Chelsea off of a win and a draw as well, mm-hmm. but very different ways, very different highs, I think. Against my better judgment, I'm going with Chelsea.
Interesting. We got some diversity in our picks here, and I'm going with United. Nick's going with United. I feel like they might be riding a bit of a high with Ten Hag, the win against Tottenham, and low-key kind of like the fuck you to Ronaldo. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Dylan got a draw. Probably the smarter bet.
Well, statistically, it's never the smarter bet.
For sure. But,
probably the smarter bet.
Yeah, for sure.
The big one we were talking about, Aston Villa hosting Brentford. There's no way, there's only one way to skin a cat, John. And Brentford is the king of skinning the cat. They're going to win this game.
I don't think any of that made any sense. but all four of us got Brentford, and I think, to the point I made earlier, like, this is the worst new manager bounce game you can have.
You know when you're skinning a cat and you're just getting in there. You're just getting in there. That's
never had that's never what had Brentford pelt in did. Hand. Okay. Is it a slow skin or a fast skin?
Can be either one. Whatever you prefer. Depends on the blade.
Skin that cat.
It depends on the blade. Anyway, Jesus. Sorry. Fulham going
this week.
No, I'm just, I don't know. Fulham going to Leeds. This is a draw. This is a draw written all over it.
This is big draw. Big draw, gang. Unfortunately, I picked Fulham because I think, again, to your point earlier, like, I might be in on him. Marco Polo?
Yeah, Marco Silva.
The thing that really fucks me up, though, is I just looked at Dylan and Nick. They also have Fulham, so now I know it's mushed.
The thing, I think Leeds play a little bit better at home. Don't quote me on that. I'm going to look it up after I introduce this next one and get back to you. Arsenal going to Southampton. Arsenal are going to win. Southampton are not good. I don't care. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what, you know, what the common knowledge is on Southampton, the stats. I don't give a shit. They're bad.
Yep. Agreed. Quadfecta on Arsenal. Big, good win. Big, good win. Today against PSV as well. Xhaka with the goal. Again, another like resurgence guy.
Leeds have not won away. They're 2-2-1 at home, so they're better. Wolves going to Leicester? Is that right?
No, Leicester's heading to the Wolves, baby.
Leicester's heading to the Wolves. I originally had Wolves for this until we talked and then my shit fucked up. And I looked at the statistics, and Wolves have scored 5 goals all year, so I'm just not going to pick them. That's just a dishonest and like bad way to pick a team.
Yep. I made a joke about Barb being able to spank her 30-year-old son, if that's okay or not. I'm not going to retell the joke this time around, thus retelling it. But I had Leicester the whole time. 5 goals in the season so far is not... It's very bad. And horrible. I think Leicester actually scores a decent amount. They give up a ton, but that's not going to be a worry for a team that's only scored 5. I got Leicester. Dylan, he's full mush mode. He's got Leicester as well. And then Nick, typical peacemaker, oldest child, with a draw for both teams.
Absolutely, John. Good point. Good points all around. Newcastle going to Spurs again. Very weird game for me. Newcastle went to United, got the draw. Spurs tied or lost to United. So it makes me think Newcastle kind of like equal better than Spurs, but going to Spurs, they also play a little bit on the front foot. I'm going to just stick with Spurs. I think they'll eke out a win, but it could go either way.
Nick, doing the same as you, he's picking Spurs, but I think that is to try to boost the win of United this past week. Dylan and I got Newcastle, and I think it's just like a put up or shut up type game where I want to be like, I wanted to ride this horse, Newcastle, into a top 7 position. Let's ride it. Let's go after it and let's ride it, you know? Like, I'm sticking to the guns.
Very honorable of you. Very honorable of you sticking to the guns. And the final game of the week, Bournemouth going to West Ham. This is one, I'll give it to you here. West Ham have to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely have to win. If they don't win this game, then I would still say, like, I wouldn't be panicking, but I would give more reason to people who say that they are panicking.
Big alarm bell game. Yeah. I thought this would have been a four-way quadfecta, as I've been calling it for this pod only. But Nick went Bournemouth, and to the point you just made, like, I'm not going to clown him.
Yeah, I won't clown you. I won't clown you, I promise. But I think it's a bad pick.
gotta win. You a lot of money spent. Gotta win. Gotta beat Bournemouth. You're a better team than Bournemouth.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, that's the picks. No joke. That's Dylan's thing. No bets. Also Dylan's thing. I would say go Rangers, but I'm a Pens fan, so I'm not gonna do that.
Go Jackets. Go Cavs.
Go National League. Go National.
Oh please, League. God, yeah. Go Phillies. Honestly,
I'm down for that. Big Phillies guy.
I love Harper.
Might as well. All right. Good weekend. Have a nice week. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.